For the fashion of Minas Tirith was such that it was built on 7 levels, each delved into the hill, and about each was set a wall, and in each wall was a gate. But the gates were not set in a line. The great gate of the city wall was at the east point of the circuit, but the next faced half south, and the third half north, and so to and fro upwards, so that the paved way that climbed towards the citadel turned first this way and then that across the face of the hill. And each time that it passed the line of the great gate, it went through an arched tunnel, piercing a vast pier of rock whose huge outthrust bulk divided in two all the circles of the city save the first. For partly in the primeval shaping of the hill, partly by the mighty craft and labor of old, there stood up from the rear of the wide court behind the gate a towering bastion of stone, its edge sharp as its ship keel facing east. Up it rose, even to the level of the topmost circle, and there was crowned by a battlement, so that those in the citadel might, like mariners in a mountainous ship, look from its peak sheer down upon the gate 700 feet below. The entrance to the citadel also looked eastward, but was delved in the heart of the rock. Thence a long lamplit slope ran up to the 7th gate. Thus men reached at last the high court, in the place of the fountain before the feet of the white tower, tall and shapely, 50 fathoms from its base to the pinnacle, where the banner of the stewards floated 1,000 feet above the plain. A strong citadel it was indeed, and not to be taken by a host of enemies, if there were any within that could hold weapons, unless some foe could come behind and scale the lower skirts of Mindoloin, and so come upon the narrow shoulder that joined the hill of guard to the mountain pass. But that shoulder, which rose to the height of the 5th wall, was hedged with great ramparts right up to the precipice that overhung its western end. And in that space stood the houses and domed tombs of bygone kings and lords, forever silent between the mountain and the tower.
All right, awesome. Okay, so of all the descriptions, this one might be my favorite of all his landscape stuff. Actually, well, I don't know. I think I liked the Ithilien one. Oh, and Lothlorien ones. Those might beat it. But anyways, for structures, I think this wins. But we'll get into that in a second. Let's just actually talk about this first. So, 7 circles built in the wall. Seems very practical for defense, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have unlimited amounts of food, which nobody does. But if you did, then this is perfect.
Right.
For everybody listening, this is the point where stop whatever you're doing as a side task and just get ready to do many Google image searches, because we're about to play a game here. Now, the one real world reference that I've heard most of all of this compared to is Mont Saint-Michel. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I was pulling up images of that because it's definitely, it was one of the first things that comes to mind for me. Particularly also because it's got the super long causeway out to it, which is not the same situation we have here, but it feels like the same, like, very long, flat entry to something very severe, you know?
So, for those listening, this is when you type out Mont Saint-Michel in Google, and then you check out the images of it. It sounds close to how it's spelled. So just
Mount Saint-Michel.
Yeah. It's pretty sick. I remember the first time I saw this in 2013, the Tour de France had a time trial that finished out here. And I was just, oh, what? This thing exists? This is nuts. All right. So there's that. Let's see. So, like I said, from everything Tolkien's ever imagined, you know, and vividly described, I would contend Minas Tirith might go down as the most epically unique scenery creation he does, okay? And this is a proper way to open up senior year, the last dance, you know, of Lord of the Rings. This is such a great chapter because this is such a cool sight, right? And the movie did a good job with it, too. Let's just give him props for that as well. So let's have some fun. Let's play a game. I texted you this in advance so that don't ever think that we're doing this off the top of our heads. I actually put a lot of work into this. I should have been doing so many other things, but I've spent a lot of time on this. So what we're going to do is I challenged Clifford, the architect, right? I said, what are the top 5 most epic creations of architecture in first, Middle Earth? So a list, top 5 of Middle Earth. Then number 2, top 5 of all of fiction. Number 3, the real world. But we both came to the conclusion that we need to do a minimum of the top 10. And then a fourth list combining the three lists together. So just so that we can have fun with this. So this is why you're going to have to do a bunch of Google searches here when you listen to this. To first, or should we alternate? How do you want to do it?
Why don't we go fifth to first each person and alternate between, like, for the sections.
Oh, you want to do that too? I was gonna go each section first one by one because I got so much for the real world stuff, because we'll combine them at the end too.
All right,
let's do Lord of the Rings first. That'll be simplest.
Okay. You want to take it first, or should I?
I'll take it first because I'm the architect. You get the last word. All right. So for the fifth one, I was torn, but the honorable mention goes to Menegroth in the Silmarillion, the place of the Thousand Caves.
Okay.
And I'll take the Agronath as my fifth favorite thing in Lord of the Rings because when I was watching the movie one day when I was sick from school, I saw him pass the Agronath, and it really just finally hit me like, oh. Look at all the history of this thing. Like, that's my favorite scene in the movie is when they pass the Agronath. So that's why I'll take it at number five. What do you got?
Okay. So we are alternating.
Yeah.
Okay. For number five, I took the Grey Havens.
Ooh.
Which I know is kind of a weird one, but I always thought it was really cool. Another one that's, like, not described in a ton of detail, I feel like. But the image of it has always stuck with me.
Yeah.
Very strongly.
Yeah, honorable mention for me. All right, so for four for me. All right, ready for four?
Okay, I'm ready.
I'm taking the Lonely Mountain over Moria. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not taking Moria. I'm taking the Lonely Mountain because, I mean, it's just...
Okay.
So seeing it on the landscape is awesome. Every single picture you have of it is awesome, down to Tolkien's map, or almost especially Tolkien's map of it. And then to think that whole thing's hollowed out, and then it's also like, it looks like the mountain in the Paramount, where the stars come around it at the title credits and stuff, or it looks like kind of Mount Sinai or something. But then all the stuff, like all the imagery, like in its best days, it was overflowing with gold. The river ran with gold and everything, and it's just it's near the really scenic lake, the Lake Como of Middle Earth, you know. There's elf friends around, there's men there and Dale and stuff, so I'm taking the Lonely Mountain at four for me.
Okay, that's a really good one. Honestly, I remember that until you were describing it, I like forgot that it actually counts as architecture. I just associated it as like, oh, that's just a landscape place.
Well, you know? That's the thing about this is your definition of architecture, I think, will be stricter than mine. Engineering and architecture confused.
Okay. No. I think that works. I had basically forgotten that there's like a whole palace inside of Lone.
Right. I also almost forgot all Hobbit and Silmarillion references. Oh, we also said we're not doing Valinor because everything's just way too epic there, but none of it's really described either. That's why we're not going to pick that, unless you do. If you pick something, I'm not going to get mad at you. But
No, I didn't follow the rules.
Okay. All right, what's your four?
Okay, four, Orthanc.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know it's a bad place, but...
Well, it's built by good men. It was built by good men.
Yeah, it's true, and it's pretty epic. I know it's like technically less dramatic than Mordor and like all of the bad towers of Barad-dûr and everything.
That is why I didn't even think about picking it. It's like by definition.
Yeah, but by definition, it's like the younger sibling kind of of the bad towers, but there's something about like the just like the single point centered in the big circular ring that I've just saw with the river flowing through it.
Yeah,
there's just something so beautiful and like powerful about that sighting and that like the whole site design.
So are you taking Isengard or Orthanc when it's good? The good, like, or...
Oh, I guess I didn't consider that.
Well, I assume you don't want to take it when it's all torn up. Maybe it's just not that
I'm time. Taking it... Yeah, okay, that's fair. I'm taking it, I guess, before it got corrupted.
Okay. Interesting. Good pick. Before it got corrupted. I like it. Okay. All right, for three, I'm going to take Rivendell. So Rivendell itself is awesome, but then what adds to it, obviously, is the landscape, but... As I told Clifford, it's like, oh, come on. Obviously, you have to have the landscape. You know, like when you use the best things, they're going to use the landscape with it. And probably nothing does that better than Rivendell. Maybe Lothlorien, but Lothlorien just seemed too much of a landscape to me. So,
Okay, fair. I also have Rivendell for number three.
Ooh, okay. All right.
So,
all right.
Similar reasons.
My number two, Gondolin. Such an epic city. So great. It's the Troy of Middle Earth, which is sweet. And then just every single picture you ever see of Gondolin, it just always looks cool. Every single person's interpretation of it, they nail it that, you know, it's in the valley with like the ring of mountains around it, protecting it. And it's, I don't know. It's kind of like Minas Tirith, how it stands against, it's clearly like the last stand against everything evil. Like it protects everything good. I guess mm-hmm. I would say, you know.
That's pretty cool. All
right, what do you got for number two?
For number two, even though you thought it was too much of a landscape, I had the palace from Lothlorien, Carus Galadon.
Okay, well, no, see, the Tree City is cool. I just don't have enough imagination how that would look.
Honestly, I don't know that I have enough that I could really describe it or like draw it or anything.
Yeah.
But it was like just enough that it's like the glimpses of it. Yeah, I love that one. It's like all golden glowing.
Right. Number one's easy for me. I'll just take Minas Tirith. I'll be true to my word.
Maybe it's very front of mind, but it's a good one.
Well, that's kind of there was the whole impetus to do this fun exercise. So, you know, the game.
There was a right answer.
I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, I think Gondolin's the next best thing to compete with it. Honorable mentions, Minas Ithil, Morgul/Morgul, Moria. I was tempted to pick Moria, but then I was like, well, no, we only ever see Moria when it's completely, you know, been overrun by a Balrog and orcs for centuries, mm-hmm. you know? So it's like, I can't imagine it. Cause I actually don't even like the parts. Well, enough about Moria. Edoras, that was kind of cool, but not enough. And I liked. I also like the Grey Havens as well.
Helm's Deep, I think, also has an honorable mention for me. That's just like a very cool, another cool dramatic fortress built into a mountain.
Now, but
and
see,
then it's got those caverns behind it.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to ask. Helm's Deep would probably be in my top five if you include the caverns. But was that architecture? Because I feel like they didn't do anything to them.
Fair. They were just mined for crystals or something.
Or they were just there and untouched, or I don't know.
Okay, fair.
I don't know. That's
wow. Save it for next time.
So now we move on to the fun thing. We're gonna do the rest of fiction, and we'll see how many of these places can even hold a candle to the Lord of the Rings ones. Because I got a kind of a ballsy thing, contention about that. So this also gets pretty wild. But anyways, when I was texting you, because I, like I said, I spent way too much time on this. So my idea was, okay, how do I even do this? How do I narrow down everything that's in all of fiction, period? And so I just thought, okay, I got two criteria that I'm going to work off of. Looks like it was built by giants, just like they said here for Minas Tirith. And then the second one is, it looks like a fairy tale come to life, okay? Now, again, since this is fiction, some of these will actually be fairy tales. But that's the criteria going forward for the real life stuff, too. So.
Okay.
All right.
Honestly, I'll admit, I struggled a lot with the fiction one. I realized after the fact that I wasn't thinking about movies at all, and I only was thinking about books.
Oh, see, that's where
probably
you,
too, yeah, that's way the problem. Too limiting.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But anyways,
like I didn't even just limit myself to fantasy either. Like I just went anything fiction.
Okay. I'm very curious to hear yours.
Yeah, I got it. I kind of had fun with it. You start this one, so you're number five. So
number five. This is also very vague and broad, but Atlantis. Just as a general thing.
Which Atlantis? The Disney version of Atlantis? I thought that was on my honorable mentions.
I guess I was thinking of it as an amalgam of all the Atlantis.
But we already have Numenor, Clifford.
I know. Okay. I didn't pick one. It was just kind of a blended version. All right,
version. Fair enough. The Disney one's pretty cool. And that was a cool, that's mm-hmm. a low-key good Disney movie. Like one of the best. All right. So anyways, mine's worse. My number five is The City of Gold Beneath Mount Rushmore at the end of National Treasure 2.
Nice. That's great.
Like, I actually wanted to take whatever is National Treasure 1, but it's like, well, there's no architecture here besides the rotted out staircase of wood and then the treasure room, which is, you know, it just has treasure in it. There's no architecture to it, so I couldn't take that. But okay. City of Gold, yeah, that was actually a pretty cool one. That movie, excellent sequel. It's not quite as good as the first one, but it's pretty excellent. All right, what do you got for four?
Okay, four. We've talked about this one before, but Beowulf's Hall.
Oh. What? You're going to count that as fiction? I think that was real.
Okay. Maybe you're right.
No, I'm just kidding.
I guess I was also thinking of it as, like, with some of these, I feel like in my head they automatically turned into, like, archetypical versions of the thing.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Like Beowulf's Hall is kind of like it's almost like a stand-in for like the many versions of that thing that are kind of out there.
Yeah, actually, I did the same thing for four, so I'm not gonna.
Okay,
I'm not
okay. Gonna go ahead. Go ahead.
So I took. You might have to look this up. The Hippodrome from Ben Hur. So like that's that's the horse track that they had the chariot race on. I thought that thing was sick. Now that might have been a real place because that's a fictional story, but. It's based off, I think there was a hippodrome in Jerusalem because that's where the race takes place. But if there was, then maybe it did exist. But I'm sure they dialed it up for the movie and made it awesome. Oh, nice. Look at that. I have previous searches asking if the hippodrome there is real.
Nice.
But anyways, that thing's sick. That's probably is the greatest movie scene of all time, the chariot race in Ben-Hur. Definitely look it up on YouTube if you haven't seen it. It's like 9 minutes. It's like 9 minutes of gloriousness. Because you know what they do? They don't even have a soundtrack. All you hear is just the hoofbeats of the horses and the crowd screaming and cheering. It's just, oh, it's so badass. What an idea. Just not do anything. All right, what's your number three?
Number three, this one, I after writing it, I felt like maybe it doesn't actually count as being fiction, but we have also talked about this before. Newton's Cenotaph, like spherical room. That's like,
yeah,
a spherical version of the pyramids.
Yeah. Let's look at that again. Okay. Cenotaph.
C-N-O-T-A-P-H. It's just an idea, but definitely epic.
Yeah, that is epic. Yeah, we talked about that recently. We talked about that in the Numenor one, right?
Mm-hmm.
With the Nazi architecture, you know.
Yes.
Good company, right? All right.
Yeah.
My number three, I'm going to go Disney. We're going to take Cusco's Palace or Capital City in the Emperor's New Groove.
Nice.
So if you can't imagine it, Emperor's New Groove City. Oh yeah, that thing looks cool. Especially since they showed it decent enough throughout the movie that I'm like, all right, I think this counts. I'm gonna take it, even though there wasn't much thought to it.
Oh, nice. I think I've only seen this once before,
dude.
It was a long time ago,
dude. It's the funniest. It's the funniest Disney movie ever, ever. But all right, what was your number two?
Okay, number two, this one, I don't know if images exist of it, but if you know the writer Jorge Luis Borges,
Yeah.
I think he's Brazilian. One of his stories is about a library that is infinite. I mean, I should do a Google search to see if anything comes up.
I just did Borges Library. I'm getting library pictures.
I haven't read this story. Okay, it looks like people have definitely drawn versions of it, but it's a description of an infinite library that's just super cool. And I mean, it's like, it is the subject of the story, is the setting. So it's like the architecture is the narrative, but it's, I don't know, it's a mind bender.
Dude, interesting. Yeah, I don't think I can comment further because I don't know about it, but I'm seeing what you're saying about the infinite, but
yeah.
Cool.
But it's like a description of like basically infinite rooms that are all connected in like a matrix together and then staircases that go up and down.
Wait, but how is this number two on your list?
What do you mean?
Like,
why did I put it here?
Yeah. Why is it greater than the cenotaph of Newton?
Okay. I would say that, well, it's hard because it's just an idea. So it's not like that you can assess it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But in the same way that we're tying some of the buildings to the landscapes and like the amount that they're stitched together is like how epic they are, kind of. This is like the story in this case is the architecture, and the architecture is the story. It's capturing like this infinite maze that the character is trapped in, both mentally and in the physical space.
Okay.
And I really like the architectural description of it.
Mm.
And even though it's not obviously practical or couldn't really exist, it's just a really cool concept. I don't know how much else I... All right.
Yep. You defended it well. Good job.
Okay.
All right. My number two, I'm going to take the Polar Express version of the North Pole.
Oh, nice.
Because I thought they did. I thought their North Pole was the best of everybody's North Pole things that I've seen, save maybe Tokens. I thought theirs was the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
They did.
Oh, with the spiral going up to the top.
Right. Well, they did like the whole city. I like the whole city feel of it. You know.
Yeah.
And they got the huge Christmas tree and the main square, but it's not just like it's a couple little workshops. It's like, oh, I actually like that. This is a whole
I've not looked at this town before in great detail. It's like they've taken Mont Saint-Michel for the mountain.
Yeah.
And then the Christmas tree in the square is like, looks very, very much like St. Peter's.
Yeah.
The Vatican.
Yeah. Dude, you're giving away new...
Oh, sorry.
All right, what's your number one for fictional places?
Number one, this is another weird, odd, like way out there one that I don't know if there's images of, but there's a book called We, by Eugene Zamiatin. That's a city. It's kind of like a modernist dystopian thing, like kind of in the order of like 1984 or Brave New World. The city is I don't know how to, let me see. If
I think I looked up book we, and then Eugene spelled like the Oregon Eugene way, which is not how you spell this guy's name, but I think I'm seeing it. Is there like a light on the top of a tower?
Let's see.
There's a helicopter. There's a city.
Oh yeah. It looks like there's a drawing of it. I don't know what that drawing comes from.
It looks like it's on the book cover, the Penguin Classics.
Okay. I didn't have that copy of the book, but anyways, it's meant to be this futuristic city that is made all entirely of glass and is ringed by a wall and then surrounded by like uninhabited wilderness. And it's also kind of dystopian, so it's like spooky, but the architecture is extremely well described. And the guy also wrote it in like so far ahead of his time. Like it was like decades before a lot of this other like post-Soviet Union dystopian stuff was written. And the architecture is like modernist architecture before people had designed anything like it. And it had this like this contrast of like the wilderness and the built up city. And I don't know, there's just so many dimensions to it that were just like way ahead of its time. It's extremely integrated into the plot of the story and like how all the characters have to behave because of the architecture.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, it's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one. All right. Actually, similar vein, kind of. My number one, I'm taking Cloud City from Star Wars.
So
a city in the clouds, you can't get more fairy tale than that. Okay, so for like my two criteria, giants and fairy tales. And so I knew I was going to take a Star Wars place, because that Star Wars I think is second best to Lord of the Rings for knocking out like epic locations.
Yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, as a kid I loved all the Star Wars settings.
Right. Well, so I wanted to take Mustafar, which was the lava planet, you know, where Obi-Wan and Anakin fought, but then I was like, well, there's just some little metal hideaway thing. There's not much architecture there, you know. You're there to watch a lightsaber fight in lava, you know, in a volcano, right? But here at Cloud City. So not only is there this stuff, if you search Cloud City, you see it, you know, sticking out above the clouds and everything, right? But this is also where Luke and Darth Vader had their fight, and like Darth Vader said, no, I'm your father, right? And so that was in that epic location, probably in the middle of the thing, and then Luke drops through the middle of it, you know, like who even knows where they're at, but it was quite the epic location. So that's also where Han got frozen in the carbonite, so there was like the little smoke room is where the fight started. It was pretty sick. So nice. Yeah, nice. That's what I'm gonna take.
Okay.
Do you have honorable mentions for this category? I have a lot.
I don't. You go for it.
All right. I had the Disney castle at the beginning of the credits.
Okay.
Of every movie, you know, like even if it's the two dimensional one, just every movie. Like I said, Mustafar, Emerald City, if you include the Yellow Brick Road.
Okay. Nice.
Atlantis from the Disney movie. I threw a bone to Hogwarts. Salzburg and strictly in the Sound of Music. I know that's a real place, so that's probably out. Maybe Willy Wonka's factory, but I don't know. It was actually kind of weird, especially in the architecture outside was ugly because it was just a factory. But yeah. All right, now we get to the real deal. The real world. So, Clifford, how did this go for you? Because I basically, in addition to having my top 10, I have honorable mentions of things from the same category as well.
Oh, man. Okay. So, wait. Top 10 is real life, right?
Yeah. Real life.
And then we're doing a top 5 of both.
Yeah.
Okay. This went well, but I will say, it's like, I feel like it was just like greatest hits of like wonders of the world type thing.
Yeah.
At least for me, which felt not very creative, honestly. Like I felt felt very generic in certain ways. There's so much amazing stuff out there. Of course, like you could narrow it down to like one single place and have so many amazing things. So picking like the most epic stuff in the world, I feel like it's a really hard one.
Yeah. All right. So the thing with mine was I started just going through every region of the world and I had a list of 50 things. And even that was probably short. Okay. And so then from there I had to try to narrow it down to 10. And so I just tried to group things similarly. And then I just have a bunch of honorable mentions because I think they're similar in some ways, you know, but I picked the best, what I think's the best of them. And then to get it in the top 10 order, I think I did that, but I might, you know, from thing to thing, I might second guess myself, but whatever.
Okay.
I'll start too. I did controversially, I had a number 11 that I could not leave off because number 11 is the White City of Chicago's World Fair.
Ooh, cool.
So I was like, you
know, that's a really good one.
If you think about fairy tale aspects, supposedly Walt Disney's dad worked on the construction of that, and that potentially inspired Disneyland. So, I mean, you know, when we're talking fairy tales, it's like, oh, that's got to be. You know, you look at pictures of that, the White City, Chicago World's Fair, 1893. Pretty epic. I love the book Devil in the White City. I didn't love the devil part of it. I just like the White City, and that was a pretty great read. Like, and now when I walk through Jackson Park, I feel like the guy that read the Iliad and then found Troy just by reading it. I feel like I could walk around reading Devil in the White City and just recreate everything in my mind. But yeah.
Yeah, this is awesome. This is a really good one. Yeah. I didn't have a number 11, but I could make this one.
Well, I knew I wanted to do some sort of bias shout out, so but I couldn't fit it because there's too many other things. All right, my number 10 is the Great Wall of China. You know, thinking about something built by giants, because I looked it up. Now, tell me if this is accurate, because maybe I just looked this up wrong. But I was like, oh, yeah, Great Wall of China, you know, maybe it's going to be like 300 miles. You know, I mean, that's pretty long. That'd be pretty sweet. And then I looked it up, and it says 13,000.
Yeah. No, it's crazy.
That actually would hold people out. It's not even like they could go around it.
Yeah, I actually thought of that earlier when you were talking about the wall around, the outer wall around Gondor or around Minas Tirith, and you're like, yeah, 12 miles is pretty far to build a wall. Yeah. And I decided this was the first thing that came to mind.
Yeah. Now, honorable mentions to go along with this, I thought in the similar vein, I thought about that famous Roman aqueduct that's in France near Nîmes. All right, because I kind of wanted to pick that, but I didn't. And then I also thought about, surprisingly, I also thought about the Brooklyn Bridge. Because that one's pretty badass and epic. Now, this is where I think, like, do you just consider these engineering and they're not actually architecture? Or do you consider the...
No. I think they're fair game.
Okay.
I mean, they're like, they're works of engineers.
Yeah.
But honestly, in the grand scheme of things, I put it together. I thought, I didn't include any, like, infrastructure things like that.
Yeah.
But it definitely crossed my mind. Bridges are just super cool.
Right, right.
And there's... Also, back in the day, like before modern stuff, architects and engineers were often like the same people.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a different profession. So the people who designed like, you know, something like this aqueduct was probably like architect, engineer, and contractor and like mastermind, mathematician all at the same time.
Yeah. Dude, listen to this diversion. So apparently architect comes from the Greek tecton, which just means artisan. And so the architect... Mm-hmm. You know, architecton is just the head of all the artisans, you know?
Mm.
Now, listen to this. This is crazier. The word for, and this is off topic, but sorry, but it's cool.
Okay.
The word for carpenter in Greek is tecton. And so, but it really can mean, you know, all artisans. But the way that we translate it from Greek is just usually carpenter. So that's why they think Saint Joseph was a carpenter, even though supposedly there's no wood in Bethlehem, like or in Nazareth. Like there's just no, like, so it's there's a, some people say he was probably a stone cutter, you know, because that would be the same word, because it would still be an artisan. But yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
Isn't that crazy?
That's very good to know.
All right, what's your number 10 though?
Okay, number 10. This is actually another kind of category thing, like you, but either Petra in Jordan or Ellora in India.
No, you have to pick one. This has to be an official list, Clifford.
Fine. Okay, I'll pick Petra.
I was going to take Petra.
Ellora is my honorable mention in the same category then.
Wait, how do you spell that one?
Ellora.
Ellora.
Yeah, it probably comes up in Google. Ellora Caves.
Dude,
I think a Hindu temple built into the rock.
Yeah, dude, I haven't even heard of this one. This one's
sick. Pretty wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Obviously, I've never seen it before, but yeah, it looks awesome.
My subterranean one is coming up.
Okay.
But, all right. Let's see. All right, so my number 9, I'm going to take a... Angkor Wat. All right.
Nice.
That one. So how big, do you know how big it is? I didn't look that up. I didn't go that far, but how big is that one? Cause I think it's pretty big.
I don't know any dimensions off the top of my head. I actually wrote a paper about Angkor Wat. It's like my first thing I had to write for architecture school was like a descriptive essay of some architecture, and Angkor Wat was what I did.
Yeah. So that one, when you look that up, A-N-G.
Oh, the outer wall is 2.2 miles long. Oh. And the moat is 3 miles long.
I think that's so big. Well, I guess I need it in relation. No, that's big. That's big. But anyways, when you see this one, this one's just like, oh my gosh, this is like the greatest ruin that we have on Earth. Because there's other stuff that's, amazing. You know, but since it's only ninth on my list, in my opinion, there's other stuff that we have left, but it's not as it's better preserved, whereas this is like, it's still pretty well preserved, but like, you know, I don't think in its heyday there was trees growing, you know, in it when you see all the vines and everything throughout the whole thing. But that makes it really cool today. And this one is just, dude, like, whoa. Because it's in Cambodia, and it's like, I mean, no offense, but it's like, you wouldn't think.
Apparently, I haven't been there, but it's in the region it's in, it's actually surrounded by temples. And so it's like a major temple, but there's minor temples in the jungle just like scattered throughout that whole area. And at one time it was, you know, like a kingdom and kind of all connected by roads and all that type of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
But kind of similar to like the Mayan temples in like the Yucatan.
Yeah. Well,
there's like major ones that have been kind of unearthed. And then there's a lot of other stuff just like buried in the jungle.
Yeah. So my honorable mention would be like Machu Picchu.
Okay.
And then I actually thought of two cathedrals, the Santiago de Compostela, and then the one in Brazil, the Sagrada Familia. So yeah, I thought those are kind of similar vein, at least, you know. But I would say, of all of them, Angkor Wat's the greatest, because this is just I don't know, you just don't expect it, or at least I don't expect it at all.
Yeah.
When I first, like, that's the thing with my list. I think is I all these things I'm going through, these are the ones that I was just most the first, I can slightly remember the first time I saw it just being so blown away. All right, what's your number nine?
Okay, number nine, we've mentioned this one before, the Temple of Hatshepsut. It's kind of a mouthful to look up, but
is this the Japanese one?
No, it's Egyptian temple. It's spelled like phonetically like Hatshepsut.
Oh, no, this is my number eight. This is Valley of the Kings.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think Valley of the Kings maybe is like the larger, like the next layer of the Venn diagram, maybe.
Oh, is it? One.
I'm not sure. I don't know myself well enough. I think this is maybe just the building, and then Valley of Kings might include this plus a few other things.
Or maybe the Valley of the Kings is the whole thing, and then this is the actual. Anyways, I think we're on the same page. This is my number eight as well.
Okay, sweet. We're pretty well aligned. But yeah, this place is awesome. For those of you not looking at images, it's a giant tiered temple built into a cliff in a valley. So you like proceed upwards through layers of like kind of, I mean, Egyptian looking, but it also looks a little bit Greek at the same time.
So Valley of the Kings, this was my subterranean desert one. So honorable mentions, Petra, which you already said.
Okay.
Look up St. George's Church in Ethiopia if you haven't seen that. That one's crazy. And then the Library of Alexandria, even though we don't know what it looked like, I'm sure it was awesome. And then any authentic village in Morocco, I think would be sweet.
Okay, cool.
Like, they're all usually like whitewashed, you know what I'm picturing? You know, and they're all the same thing. Yeah.
Whoa, I'm just looking up St. George's Church in Ethiopia.
That's, I know, really isn't cool. Like, I think they built it down. They just dug to build it.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's nuts. Nuts.
It's also very, like, simple, very beautiful.
Right, and I think it's bigger than it looks, too. So,
okay.
That's part of my definition, you know, giants. Should be epic. Mm-hmm. So I think you're on your number eight.
Okay, my number eight. I actually switched this one last minute after we were talking about Chicago, White City, the Crystal Palace. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Yeah, in London.
Yeah, it's another one that, like, there's only, I don't think there's actually photographs of it. Oh no, there's old black and white photographs of it.
Oh, so it's not there anymore, right?
No, it burned down. You'd wonder how a building made of metal and glass burned down, but apparently it was filled with so many kind of World's Fair type stuff that it just got on fire.
Isn't that still a soccer team there, though? Like Crystal Palace? I know that's a soccer team.
It's still a place. Yeah. I think that, I don't know if there's something on the site or if they rebuilt something similar there, but
that's the thing. It's like, it burned down. Oh my gosh. You know, the White City is even worse. They're just like, yeah, it wasn't supposed to be permanent, but it's just, what are you guys thinking? Of course it should be permanent.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, Crystal Palace. Interesting. So wait, how does Crystal Palace beat out Valley of the Kings?
Okay, probably I put less thought into my actual order than you did, but this is pretty epic. I also skewed in my initial list. There was like nothing remotely modern.
There's no problem. Like, that's no problem.
I know, definitively ancient. And I had like second guessed myself.
Yeah.
This is very dramatic and epic in certain ways.
Okay.
I know you're less into it, but I feel like it's like.
No, I actually think
it's
this
like
is pretty
cool. an epic monument to the Industrial Revolution, in a way. Like the fact that they were able to build this at the time out of metal and glass was like, I don't know. It's like a engineering feat, I feel like, on par with some of these really epic old stone constructions.
Yeah, the most modern thing that was an honorable mention was like the Empire State Building or the Board of Trade, okay. Chicago Board of Trade. But
cool.
I'm not, yeah. Because I like Art Deco. I think that's probably where I end.
Nice. Art Deco is cool.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So my seven, though. Here we go. Here we go. Now we're starting to get real, real, real deal. All right.
Okay.
Saint Chapelle. So it's just Saint and then Chapelle, like the Chapelle show. If you just type that in, you'll see it. I think this wins for Gothic cathedrals. Like this one, this one blew me away. You got to look at the inside. Don't even look at the outside. The outside, it's like, all right, it's not going to compete with the others. But the inside, it's like, oh my gosh. Look at those stained glass windows. Look at how much different colors coming in here. This is unbelievable that this exists.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
I believe this is in Paris too.
Okay, I do have a Gothic section later on. Yeah. But this is great.
Yeah. Well, all right. Then I'll honorable mentions to all the other typical Gothic cathedrals like Notre Dame, Chartres, and then I saw like what also I put in the same vein. There's this the Jama Mosque. It's like the really blue one of the Muslim mosques that you see. You know, Jama Mosque. Look that up and I think it would come up. And I would also say, in the same vein, kind of strange, I would say the Hagia Sophia is in this too. This category as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. What's your seven?
Seven, I have the Gardens of Babylon.
Oh, really? I thought about that. Besides that, we don't even know if it existed.
I know. It's like I was almost like, should this go in fiction? Because it's like all of the depictions and descriptions of it are like not really real.
Yeah.
But from everything I have heard, seem pretty sweet.
From 2,500 years. Handed down. Yeah, it does. I actually agree. It sounds sweet. I don't know which one I thought to put it on. I think I might have thought of this list and then, yeah. All right. Okay. Six for me. This is going to be hard for me to pronounce. The Schwasten Castle. It's just look up white German castle and you'll get it. So sick.
Oh, like built on top of a mountain.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That like that's the most epic castle you're gonna find. That
is it. The Neuschwanstein.
Neuschwanstein. Yeah. Neuschwanstein. Yeah. That's like a Disney castle in real life.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Like, you know what I'm saying with fairy tales and giants. I think this is where it starts hitting both, if it hasn't already. You know. For me, and an honorable mentions, nice. I would say like the Taj Mahal is kind of there. The Acropolis for some reason kind of reminded me of it, like on the hilltop, you know.
Your categorization is very interesting. It's not what I expected, but I see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I would also say that I don't know why I like this one so much, but like the castle on Edinburgh. You know, like in Edinburgh, that one's cool too. But this takes the cake. This is the castle of castles, in my opinion.
Yeah, when we went to France, I guess it was two years ago now. But we saw some castles that were like not anything super famous. But at least one of them was. Let me try to find. I think it was called Beynac. Beynac. Beynac Castle, Yeah, I'm pretty sure this one.
Oh, really?
These photos are, like, not the greatest thing ever, and the castle itself was, like, pretty utilitarian, like, kind of just military outpost.
Yeah.
But it's built on top of a cliff over the river, and it is sick. Yeah, we got to tour it. It's just, like, so cool.
Yeah. Dude, I'm trying to think where Baynac is based on Tour de France geography, but I'm not sure I've seen
it. It's down on the Dordogne River, so kind of like in the kind of mid-southwest region.
Nice. All right. Okay. Top five. Here we go. Here's what I'm taking for five.
Wait, no, I didn't do six. Six for me was Angkor Wat.
You took Angkor Wat there. Okay, sweet.
Yeah, I feel like our list is, I'm guessing, 70% overlaps in different orders.
We'll see. I got a couple curveballs coming up, I'd say. At least five and four are curveballs. So here's the first curveball.
Okay.
I'm taking Oxford, the whole university.
Ooh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. That's
the whole university, nice.
Yeah, just not just
power move.
Yeah, not just one thing. I'm taking the whole thing. I get the whole campus. Yeah. We're embracing how everything in Lord of the Rings is archetypal. This is the archetypal university campus. This wins.
Okay.
Fair. I am such a sucker for English lordly shows. Like, I actually watched this show. My friend showed me. It's called Brideshead Revisited. It's the OG Downton Abbey. It's much better.
I have that book, actually.
Dude, you got to read it. And then you got to watch the show because the show is, like, the
you
best.
Read it?
No, I watched the show, but the show is the best book to movie adaptation of all time, because the show is like 11 episodes or something. I don't know, it was awesome. Definitely. It's weird, but highly recommend, especially if you like Tolkien. I guess the guy, the author Evelyn Waugh, he's got some sort of connection to Tolkien, but I don't know what it is, but they both went to Oxford, but he also is like part of his society or something, or editor, I don't know, something with C.S. Lewis maybe. But yeah, all right, so I'm taking Oxford, greatest university campus that ever was or shall be.
Okay, nice.
All right, what do you got?
Okay, now I'm questioning my final order, my top five order.
Don't, just, you're locked in, just go with it.
Okay. All right, number five is the Pantheon.
Oh, okay.
Which is, like, you know, I mean, you're familiar, but from the outside, not the most dramatic, like, actually, from any one photo, not the most dramatic of, like, temples or anything. And it's just, like, buried in the middle of the city. It looks very normal, but there's a lot of crazy things about it, including that it's super old. Like, people think the Colosseum is old, and this is way older. But, yeah, it's really cool. And, like, the geometry is awesome. There's, like you can draw a perfect circle inside of it.
Yeah.
It's, like, touches the floor and reaches up. Anyways. Also, they built it, the ceiling, with concrete.
Right.
Like, and then they had concrete for a while, the Romans did. And then lost the recipe until, like, the 1880s.
Yeah, that's what, I think we talked about that at some point, because my dad always mentions that. He's just like, yeah, how do they make the Pantheon? We can't make roads that stay together for 50 years.
Yep.
Yeah, the Pantheon's sweet. It's a church now, too. I think that's cool. So Pantheon's sweet in my book. All right, here we go. Four.
Okay.
I'm going big again. I'm going to take the Champs-Élysées, including everything from the Louvre to the Arc de Triomphe, and set on the last day of the Tour de France when it finishes on the Champs-Élysées. It does laps around it. I want all the packed fans there. I want, you know, a zoom in on the Joan of Arc gold statue. I want the obelisk there in the middle. You know, perfect lighting, perfect foliage. Play the Tour de France, or play the Champs-Élysées song, you know, so that's my number four. That's the ultimate arena, in my opinion.
Nice, that's great. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's the best avenue in town. Honorable mention, Lakeshore Drive in Chicago.
Okay, cool. Okay, number four, Chartres Cathedral.
Oh, okay.
In your Gothic vein.
Yeah.
I picked it as the archetypical Gothic cathedral. Probably up for debate if that's actually the case. But,
well, I think it's that. I think the official running is that or Notre Dame or Notre Dame.
Yeah. Chartres, I think, is, like, technically, like, Well, Notre Dame is very famous, but it's like architecturally. Well, anyways, no, we don't have to get into it. Yeah, Chartres, high Gothic. And then as we were talking, I actually added on another honorable mention in this category, Sagrada Familia in Barcelona.
Yeah.
That
was in my anchor wide honorable mentions.
Okay. Okay, nice. Yeah, that, if you guys haven't seen photos of that, this is technically a modern building.
Right. Well it's not done yet, right?
Yeah, it's been under construction for a ridiculously long period of time. But it is crazy. It is like the architect who designed it, who's, you know, long since passed away, is, he's just like one of a kind. This is, I guess I associate it with being like on par with just a modern version of the Gothic. It just looks totally like, particularly if you look at photos of the interior,
yeah, but,
and like
but,
the vaulting on the ceiling.
Well, it's slightly more deserty, which is good for Spain. Like that plays to the character. Now, hold on, but this is why I couldn't let this one, you know, be my official pick for that category. It looks lopsided. Like, what's the deal with the four, and then to the right of it, it keeps extending out instead of just going straight backwards. The four towers on the front, and then there's something on the left or right side, depending on which way you're viewing it.
Yes. I don't actually know the floor plan well enough to say what it's doing.
Yeah, that's what I don't get about it. It's not symmetrical. Not to say it's not great. It's just that actually hurt it making my
list. No, actually, I think you're looking at it. I think it is actually like hewing to a pretty traditional Gothic floor plan. You just see it at like a weird angle.
Yeah, well, every single picture has it at a weird angle.
Oh, you know, actually, I think it also is that if you look up like floor plans for it or elevations, I think his design actually calls for like more epic pointy things that haven't even started to be built yet, like centered on the actual thing. So I think you're seeing like the entryway at one side of the nave where it would be like filled out and become symmetrical if they ever do finish it.
Okay.
Anyways, sorry.
Yeah.
Getting out of sidetrack. I know we got to keep this rolling.
Yeah.
Your number
three. All right. Fairy tales, giants. I'm taking all of Venice.
Okay.
It's a floating city. It's sweet. Also, plus, honorable mentions for this category. I would say this is like my city go. Like, this was my city one. Like, I get one city because Minas Tirith is a city, you know, and this inspired this whole thing.
Yeah, fair.
So I would actually say I really like the skyline shots of Rio de Janeiro with like all the mountains and stuff. Not so much even the buildings itself. It's more the mountains and then the Christ statue at the top. And then I also like Nice, France's skyline. Like, right, it's tucked in the mountains on the bay. A bunch of bike races always finish there, so that's why I know that one. And then also Venice, Italian vein, the Piazza in Siena. I really like that one as well. All of old Siena, I might say, is an honorable mention because there's a big bike race that finishes there as well, which is sweet. But yeah, so I'm taking Venice, floating city. That's hard to pass up. Great architecture all around. Fairy tale stuff. Yeah. That's that.
Okay, nice. Okay, number three. This is a mouthful, but Ginkakoji, which I think is the same as the Silver Temple. If you search, maybe, let's see if it comes up. Silver Temple, Kyoto. Anyways, kind of in the vein of what we've been talking about, archetypical things, Japanese Zen Buddhist temples. Specifically, like, there's a whole bunch in Kyoto that are just like, I don't know, the Japanese equivalent of like the Gothic, like that.
No, dude, this looks like the Eastern version of the Norway stave churches.
Yes, like, yeah, construction wise and material wise, much more in that keeping.
Yeah.
In terms of like the level of detail that's embedded in some of them, No, you're right. I it's very similar to that as well.
Yeah, this thing's pretty sick.
And what's cool about these also is like the landscape and gardens around them are part of the design. So they're like, each temple is actually like a very small building set in like a really big complex where like every single tree branch has been carefully designed to create like this whole experience of moving through them.
Interesting. Where is this at?
Anyways, in Kyoto.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Japan.
Interesting.
There's also, you can look up the Golden Temple or Golden Pavilion in Kyoto. That one's pretty famous too. It's like literally gold.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a pretty good. Okay. One. All right.
Number two?
Yeah, number two, I will take Mont Saint Michel. Like I said, saw it in 2013 at the Tour de France. Thought it was awesome. Thought it was sick. Honorable mentions, Our Lady of Lourdes in France. That place is really cool with the grotto and everything. And then the church on top is pretty sweet. And then there was this one, Sanctuario de Las Lajas in Colombia. Anyways, it's a really cool church. It looks like it's in the middle of the jungle, but it kind of fits the same vein where it's like, Mont Saint Michel's Gothic, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's Lourdes? Do you know? Because it couldn't have been built until like the 1800s.
Let's see. I have to pull out the actual church.
Lourdes Cathedral. It's another one that's looking like Disney kind of stuff. What are we saying, Clifford?
Gothic.
That's Gothic?
Although,
how do you make Gothic in like 1870? Is it like neo-Gothic or something? Because I also thought, yeah.
Although it's got some kind of Romanesque elements.
Well, I also thought St. Pat's in New York is in the same vein.
I'm almost positive that's neo-Gothic.
Yeah.
The neo-Gothic thing was very popular in the 1800s. which like, I don't know, people, you kind of, it's like easy to rip on people copying old stuff. We do it a lot these days, but like University of Chicago's campus, for instance, is all like Gothic revival, neo-Gothic stuff.
Except that orange but it's building.
Like, yeah, there's some modern exceptions, but like a lot of the old stuff.
There's the orange building near the field house.
But it's like, they did a really good job of it.
Yeah, no, I like,
it's,
yeah.
It's like beautiful buildings.
Yeah, I like that. I guess I would. I just wasn't sure you would call that straight Gothic when it's like, you know, 500 years past the real stuff.
Gothic style, I guess.
Okay, Gothic style.
Gothic revival, you might say.
Yeah, I don't know why we don't keep doing that. We should. Yeah. All right, yeah. What's your number two?
I've never seen this one in Colombia before. It's super cool.
Yeah, I know. Isn't it
like number
it's,
two?
It's the scenery around it. That's why I was like, oh, I was close to picking it.
Yeah, and the bridge.
I thought it was like Mont Saint Michel, how Mont Saint Michel is like out in the sea, you know, and it's just, oh,
yeah, yeah.
Oh, so cool.
Okay, I guess in keeping with some really nice landscape integration, I had Machu Picchu at number two.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know that was buried back in the honorable mentions of your higher counts. But Machu Picchu is a very cool one and pretty up there for like landscape integration.
Is there like a reconstruction what it looked like in its heyday?
I don't know that I've seen one. It's a good question.
Because if it honestly had the real palaces and everything, that would be so sick.
Yeah.
Like, I think that would win.
There is, I don't know, just from like geeking out, the masonry, the stone masonry there is just like totally unique in the world. There's all this.
Isn't it earthquake proof or something?
Yeah, actually, basically is. Sorry, we're getting like way off.
No, Clifford, I decided. I think we're just going to stop once we do this. We'll just finish the second half of the chapter next week or something.
Okay, that works.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it is earthquake proof. They managed to like cut stone into like basically three-dimensional puzzle pieces, which is like, even with like modern technology, it would be extremely difficult to even get the level of tolerance that they got. Like, it's just wild. It's one of those things, like to your thing about being built by giants. Like we don't even have the skill to make this type of thing these days with machines, and they did it by hand, and it's like mind-blowing.
Yeah, and that's another thing to keep in mind too. All of these things that we're saying, like the way that these are, the decoration's a bad word, but the I guess just the actual art and design and skill, mm-hmm, to all these things, like that okay, maybe a giant is too heavy-handed for it, but I mean, mm-hmm. you know, these are like divine artists. Like this mm-hmm. is just, you know, the best craftsman stuff that you could ever imagine or want, you know.
Right. Yeah, we'd say it's like sublime or something. Right. You immediately perceive that it's something beyond what is normally possible.
Right. And that brings me, it's a good segue to my number one, Las Vegas. I'm just kidding. I will take. I'll be biased. I'll take Vatican City.
Okay. I was expecting just to claim all of Rome.
Yeah, well, that's Rome. All of Rome's an honorable mention in this.
Okay.
But I'll limit it to just Vatican City. So here's the reasoning. It's the largest church in the world. It's a mm-hmm. it's a capital. It's a figurehead place. It's got museums. It's got like secret gardens. It's got walls, so it's kind of got the Forbidden City aspect to it, you know. But then again, it's also an open in plain sight, and it's like a cultural center of the world, you know. So mm-hmm. much art's preserved there and everything. That's what I'm taking. I'm taking that. Honorable mentions, Old City Jerusalem, all of Rome, Florence and Milan, especially the Duomos in both the cities, but yeah.
Every major city in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, I'll take, but yeah, that's the pick. Cause yeah, okay, you can look up any image of it and it's just, oh my gosh. Michelangelo worked here, you know, everybody worked here.
Yeah, yeah.
like everybody worked here and everybody went to see it. So yeah. All right, what do you guys number one?
Okay, arguably the same category. I had the Hagia Sophia as number
really?
One.
Really?
Yeah, which I've been questioning my ordering as I mentioned a little bit, but this place is still totally epic. I would love to see it in person. It's like I think there is actually a very strong landscape dimension. It's built like kind of on a peninsula. You see like the bay beyond, and it almost makes like a mountain of sorts in this huge complex.
Do you know?
And then the architecture is just like super, super amazing and cool.
Okay, so the minaret towers, those must have been added by Muslims once they took it over. Right?
That's a good question, actually.
There's no way that they could have had towers because every single mosque has towers like that.
Uh-huh,
but
uh-huh.
so they.
I think you're right about that.
But what about even all the other domes around it? Like were those there, or is that like the Muslim add on to it? Because that's kind of thrown off the landscape.
I think some were there, but maybe not all. It's a really good question. I don't actually know how much was added over the years.
So what I learned about this place, and this is why I put it in the same category as like the Gothic cathedrals.
Uh-huh.
I heard when the light shines in, it really does. It's one of those where it looks like it's floating, you know, like we already heard the mountains in this chapter, mountains of Minas Tirith are kind of floating. And we already heard, wasn't the pyramids, aren't those supposed to be like floating? Wasn't that the goal of like the top looks like it's, you know, some sort of shining something. I don't know.
I think there was gold on it.
Yeah.
On the top.
So I thought the Hagia Sophia was kind of in that realm as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's kind of like from like a history standpoint, it is like the architectural tradition after Rome split, you know,
right.
Like eventually you end up with the Gothic way over on the other side of Europe.
Well, I think before Rome split, you know, there was always a difference between East and West to begin with. East, they do the Greek cross, which all the sides are even, and then the mm-hmm. Latin cross, the bottom's lower or longer, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But Hagia Sophia, I think that was like, that was probably from its building until the rebuilding of St. Peter's, because there was old St. Pete's before, but it's like, until then, I think Hagia Sophia was probably the coolest building in the world. Well, maybe once they started making the Gothic cathedrals too, but I don't know. That was a
fair.
Interesting one there.
Yeah, I will say I obviously St. Peter's is a super dramatic and cool. Receives an honorable mention. I'm like the Hagia Sophia. There's like. I guess I can like geek out about the geometry slightly more. just the like the order of the plan I just happen to like a little bit more. But that's just kind of a
I don't kind of love the one thing I don't like St. Peter's. I don't like how it's like I love the colonnade, but then I don't so much like the how am I saying this? Just flat backdrop to the opening of it, you know, like from the outside still, like how it's just straight across
the facade.
Yeah, the facade.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I think something more rounded would be cooler, but who am I? Who am I to question? Plus, you know, as soon as you get inside, then it's like, oh.
Yeah.
I don't think you beat that. Well, in my opinion, you don't beat that, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like, I think taken with like, with the plaza outside, it's kind of the experience is about like how you move through it. There's not like any singular moment that you, it's like the view, you know?
Cool. Well, this was a fun exercise. Went way too long. I'm sure this turned into its own special episode.
Nice. Yeah. Well, anyways, thanks for talking through the greatest architecture of real and fictional life.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that was the thing, is like we were on good pace and then we hit this and then I was like, oh, we'll take our time with it. I don't know why I thought it would not take this long.
yeah, I was wondering the same. I was like, oh, we'll do this in a few minutes. And then once we
started, I thought like 20 minutes tops. But oh well, anyways, I think this is a fun diversion. Hopefully everybody enjoyed
definitely
it.
Oh wait, we didn't order them. The best of the best.
Right
Oh man. All right, so, okay, well, hold on. I'm gonna admit, okay,
go ahead. Well, so just if it's the other fictional ones, they don't even factor in. I think the top four things of Lord of the Rings beat out Cloud City. Like I think the Lonely Mountain beats out Cloud City for coolness. This is just down to real world and Lord of the Rings places for me.
same here.
Number five?
I'm probably biased towards real world.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, you go ahead. I'm curious what you're saying. All right,
at five, I'll put in Gondolin. I'll take Gondolin at five.
Okay.
What do you got?
I didn't actually pick my favorites of the two yet.
Don't forget about that weird city and that library, that infinite library.
No, I'm not going to pick on the spot right now. I think I'll be too biased towards the real life ones.
No, Clifford, you have to pick.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go Rivendell for five.
Okay. All right. I'll take Venice for four.
Okay. I'm going to take,
theoretically, you have to be from your top stuff.
I know. I might be changing the order a little bit. Machu Picchu for four.
Okay. Mont Saint-Michel at three.
Okay. Minas Tirith at three.
Okay. I'll take Vatican City at two.
Okay. I'm taking Temple of Hatshepsut at two.
What? That was like your eighth.
I know. I'm moving around now. Oh my gosh.
You're so indecisive. All right. And I will live up to it. I'm taking Minas Tirith number one. That was the coolest thing I've seen. If I wanted to second guess myself, I would say, but there's no trees in it, which a certain couple of friends will bring up later, but whatever. I just committed to it and I'm not going to change my answer.
Okay. In the vein of committing, I'm going to stick with my Hagia Sophia. And not question it right now.
Did you take any full cities like me?
No, I didn't. Yeah, I think that it would have made me way too indecisive. Full cities, I feel like, that's its own list, honestly.
No way.
Because then it's like, are you taking the architecture in the cities? Or are you taking the city itself and its layout?
If it's like fairly homogenous, you know, like if they're like, you can't take something like all of New York City, and then it has its Chinatown in there. It's like, well, this doesn't fit. You know, like you can pick like Manhattan, maybe like the skyline of Manhattan or something. But
okay,
yeah,
I see what you mean.
Yeah,
I guess like certain cities have famous city plans.
Yeah,
that are cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Well, I took Venice. I think, is Mont Saint-Michel, is that a castle or is it a cathedral? It's got to have the church in the middle, right? That's the church.
I think it's actually just like a town with a cathedral in the middle.
Right, so I took like, all right, so I took Vatican City, I took Mont Saint-Michel. Oh, my top three are cities. Champs-Élysées is like the best part of Paris. So.
Uh-huh.
And then Oxford is a whole, that's a town, basically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so my top five are cities.
Nice.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, the White City. You know, my honorable mention of that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You had good groupings of buildings. I think you're going full cities.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, well, cool. This was a while. why don't we just stop recording, because I'll put some sort of ending on there.
Thanks, y'all. Oh, Champs-Élysées. Champs-Élysées, au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées. Oh, Champs-Élysées, oh, Champs-Élysées, au soleil, sous la pluie, à midi ou à minuit, il y a tout ce que vous voulez aux Champs-Élysées. Oh,